Oh, really? Over the weekend, I really wanted to come to Turum, but I was not doing well. And I had heard a little snippet on some radio station I was listening to, and I can't remember what it was, but it was about a guy discussing gratitude. And I only heard him say one thing. He said that he was grateful for running water. And it brought me back to my childhood. My earliest remembrances of not my father's side of the family, but of my mother's side of the family, was that there was no running water, there were no indoor toilets, there was no electricity. We had to chop the wood for the stove. And there was no heat in the house per se, so when you slept, you had to pile on the quilts and everything. They lived up in, my mother's mother lived up in Comstock, Wisconsin. They had a general store, but. And just that one statement of being thankful for running water, it blew me away, because and the reason it blew me away is that it is probably the most effective weapon against pettiness. And if it's against pettiness, therefore it's probably against pillars and our little idolatries.
Gratitude.
But the idea of, I was just flooded with this idea of and the gratitude and how petty our lives are when we start complaining about things. And it reminded me of how unlike Christ we really are when we can be upset by some really little thing, little idol, little behavior of someone. Where, I mean, the things that we should be having and seeing is this incredible sense of gratitude and thankfulness for everything. I mean, just stop and think of, if let's assume that I'm right, that all of the ideas and inventions since the day of the cross have been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. That means just about everything that we take for granted is really we expect it, we have a sense of entitlement for it, and it just proves that we haven't continued with him in his tests. We don't rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We aren't thankful for everything. Our lives are made up of pettiness. I'm forgetting anything spiritual right now. Let's assume that we're right about that. But I'm just talking about the grace that God has given us for our lives to be so incredibly easy in comparison to this great cloud of witnesses that we have who were stoned, who were sawn asunder, who lived in caves and thrown to the mouths of lions, and thrown into the fire and crucified, and arms cut off. And so in the relationship between these pillars and idols that we have, they seem to be all related to this lack of gratitude. Because we can lose the sense of gratitude with somebody's glance. And I don't know, it just floored me. I spent about 15 minutes bawling because I was so ungrateful in comparison to what I have to be grateful for. And we have food, we have clothing, we have shelter. Therewith be content. Well, but you don't understand my situation. Yeah, I do. What? You look like you're mad at the world. No, you.
Me?
Yeah.
Every time I urinate, I say a prayer of thanks. That's not a joke, that's the truth. I thank God every time. Because every time I could be back in the emergency room.
Yeah, I was thinking about after my mom died, emphysema, you know, the fact that you can expel all the air out of your lungs and breathe it back in is a tremendous blessing.
Well, I mean, take it back to the point where there were none of the inventions that we have. And I mean, for me, it was back when I was a little kid. There was no television. Radio was only on about an hour a day. Movies were just out of it. There was no, I mean, I'm talking about out in the country where my grandmother and my mother and her family lived.
I remember going to the well, pumping water, and using the atoms.
But there was no. But compare your life now. That's what I want you to see, and I want there should be nothing that we are ungrateful for. I mean, we do have food, we do have shelter. What else is there to consider? I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. I've learned everywhere and all things therewith to be content. You can't rejoice and be thankful without contentment. By definition, if you think something is wrong, there can be no contentment. And so the only issue that we have is the reason that you think something is wrong. You think something is wrong because you have a pillar, an idea of what's the way you are should be. And again, it's what poverty consciousness is. It doesn't have anything to do with lack of money. Poverty consciousness has to do with entitlement. And poverty consciousness is the worst. It's impossible for a true believer to have any feeling of entitlement. And the only reason that you go off on trips is because of you have a feeling of entitlement, that you should have more, or you deserve something, or and that is the problem with America. I mean, we have created an unending sense of entitlement. And that's why in this country it's the most difficult to be a believer, not just because the language is so asinine spiritually, but because of this, we are raised with a sense of that things need to be a certain way. Go to Hebrews 13 a minute. Remember the word conversation, in the way it's translated in the Greek word, it just means manner of life. And remember the word godly or ungodly means it's a way of thinking. I mean, in verse 5 of chapter 13, let your conversation, let your manner of life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And I will not need what man shall give unto me. I don't need somebody's certification of me. I don't need your agreement with my belief system. There's nothing. Remember, Jesus said, many believed on him, but he committed himself to no man, for he knew what was in all men. And so, the idea of contentment is really, it's much more than the idea of having food and raiment and clothing there with be content. It's the idea that contentment goes beyond anything to it's really a 24-hour a day sense of gratitude. It's nothing in that isn't, even to the point we glory in affliction also, knowing that affliction does, it's this certain. Because we can have continued with him in his tests. There is none of us in it.
So you just said there, maybe think there's a belief system, and that system may be absolutely perfect, but it's not him. It's not the life.
It's not perfect then.
Right. Well, I mean, as a system, it might be perfect, but not the life of Christ, and so they're just worlds apart.
But
one looks like it's pretty good.
But again, remember what perfect means. It can't stand the test of time, so it can't be perfect. So I'm not trying to play word games here, but it can't be perfect. You just haven't looked at it correctly, for you're thinking that it has some merit. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, that means that we're down on our knees in righteousness praying for the peace over there in the Middle East. No. We are praying that we would know, we would experience the fullness of the peace of the true Jerusalem. And that would be our only constant. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not need. I shall not want. Therefore, there is no covetousness. I don't need anything. How can I be possibly covetous? And that includes people's response to you. You don't need anything. because you don't need anything, then by definition, all of those little idols that are totally and completely dominating your mind, those forest of pillars, that forest of pillars has no power, because you're not, your life comes not from that any longer. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I'm reminded of what we were talking about. My cup runneth over, and the idea of making your cup smaller rather than larger. When you know your cup runneth over, the automatic reaction is gratitude.
Anybody have any other response to this?
I was thinking in terms of the like abandoning yourself. It's really you're abandoning yourself into God's. You know, it's like it's not like just a negative. There's something that happens. It's not up to you, but something does happen. And the same thing's with gratitude. You're content, but there's this. If you're discontent, it's like without the gratitude part, it's like the house is swept out and then seven more demons come in and do something else, you know. But the gratitude is the thing that fills it or something.
Yeah, because the contentment is dependent. If your contentment is dependent on any external thing, that's why I get so mad at people who come and tell me, oh, God is blessing them, they're rich, they're not, everybody's nice to them. And
that's what we're going to say in our first fruit meeting. Maybe I should change
it. Yeah, change your script.
Something I can't get. Can I talk about your first fruit meeting?
And you want? Except the stuff I said about Oli. I'll
leave that out. Oli's first. I mean, Oli's. Harry's first fruit meeting was incredible. He had all these incredible burdens just pouring out, and it was like, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong, you know, just fill the room, you know, with this stuff. And got all done, and then he says, but I'm supremely happy. It was like compared to these small issues that got blown up for a moment and then went back to nothingness, and then the statement of actually he's supremely content and happy with his lot and place in life. It was just a fabulous picture to me to see how your mind will take the little stuff, blow it out of proportion, think it's real, run with it, when it actually is, it's a tempest in a teapot. It means nothing in the scheme of things. And the thing about thankfulness is, I mean, you can then, once you get that out of the way, you can really be thankful for it.
But can you see how all of those things that of Harry's that filled up the room were all because of idols?
And idols,
they were all the ideas of what things should be and how they should be like and all of the problems that are attendant because they weren't like that. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether or not you think one of the ones that just, you know, I know a great deal about, I'm entitled to better health. I'm entitled not to be in pain. That is the biggest bunch of horse shit in the universe, because it's got entitled. You are, I mean, you don't even deserve your next breath, much less anything that goes with it, because we have crucified the Son of God so many times. And so the idea of us being entitled or having a right to respect, that's one that gets me. I just want people to respect me. Well, you don't deserve the damn respect for being such an asshole. I just want people to like me. Well, start laying down your life for them. The point of it is that all of these issues come back to one. It's like there's only really one idol. It looks like there's mirrors, so that you think there's a million. But we have to have a readiness to revenge it. That's what we lack, so we don't have the zeal. What?
Well, actually,
it's been a
everything, almost everything we talk about, you can see it in an addict's life. An addict just goes to the bottom, you know, drinking and drugging. Something happens and he's able to quit. And he's so thankful. You know, everything's perfect for him, you know. And then just a little while later, you know, he just starts losing his perspective.
Well, can you see?
He gets his attention, and he holds on to things. And he, you know, he,
but can you see the power of addiction is the entitlement?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's everything we're talking about. Is just,
but it, and again, the addiction in the body is just to show the rest of us how addicted to self we are. And it's so stupid, because if you're the subject of your sentence in any way, even in confession, then you're the subject of your sentence. You're not singing the new song. I mean, that's, you have to go through that sometimes, but my God, for some it's like you're the only subject there is. Oh, I saw this, or I think this, or this is what I mean, and this is what you saw, and this is... It's
subject,
all...
Subject, object, and the verb.
Yeah. Where he, you know, he is the offering. He is the offerer. He is the one it's offered to. There is no room for anything else. But our minds have to keep the eye as the center of the attention. That's just... That's the basis of all addiction, whether it's sex or gambling or drugs or alcohol or anything else. I'm entitled. I. Anyway, excuse me. You were going to say something about Harry.
This goes back to your meeting with Harry and all the stuff, you know, and I think you're phrasing it as little stuff, small stuff. Harry and I have a lot in common on this. And I didn't realize how bad it was until Harry and I exchanged words over some ketchup.
Ketchup issue.
And
we refer to it as the ketchup incident.
And to this day, and I know I still crank, and I know I still sweat the small stuff, but when I really get ready to gear up and start on somebody, I think about that, and I like shut up, and then I think Harry.
And then you really shut
See,
up.
Once again, I've served my purpose.
Yeah.
And I've never said thank you for that.
You're quite welcome. It's a two-way street.
You had to put that in there, didn't you?
It's a I say thank you to her.
I know, but it was like a backhanded compliment.
Oh, no,
not at all.
Not at all.
All right.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Never.
I know it didn't enter there, but it.
Would you leave him alone?
No.
Quit picking on Harry.
You're right a lot of the time.
But not all the time.
Not 100%.
I don't know where this fits in, but this weekend I was watching some religious TV and they had a guy preaching about the cross. He had a cross there, and they were preaching the cross. I thought, well, this is cool. I'll watch this, see what they say. Turned out, using the cross as an instrument of self-realization. And the reason I guess it struck me is I probably am guilty in ways of my own self, that very thing. Because I think that's, you know, that's our fundamental rock of this community, is the cross. But to use it as an instrument to keep your life as opposed to something that kills you just was odious to me.
Amen.
saying, but I was surprised that you were saying what you were saying about the pettiness and stuff. Because I woke up this morning and just couldn't sleep because I was thinking those exact same things. I spent the day yesterday with my sister and fixing up her new house. And I just saw, you know, I mean, I don't want to throw my sister under the bus this morning, but
you can throw mine.
I'm the same way. I mean, I saw it. It was just things that she was thinking that was important about her house and whatnot. And then I went to sleep and woke up, and it was just overwhelming me how silly it was.
I woke up arguing with you this morning about inventions being the revelation of Christ. That thing you said, what about toilet paper? Oh. I'll get him on that. Don't need to go any further with this. It was just
many places in the world they don't use toilet paper.
I'm just wondering one of those places.
I'm shocked.
You have
poison ivy,
and they think it's nasty.
They think toilet paper.
They think
it's nasty over here.
Yeah, it's just a waste. They think it's waste. My God, most of the world wouldn't even think of doing that.
Airway is more hygienic.
I'm culturally deprived.
Well, they need to think about baby wipes and stuff.
I thought a lot about
sponge wipes.
No, we are so spoiled here. It's beyond belief.
And really, I guess that's the, you know, you're talking about the cosmetic of the bride. The idea is, can we be grateful? I mean, it's like a really simple, easy, the world's easiest test. Can we be grateful with all the stuff that God's piled onto us here at the end of history or something? You know, that's our test, and we're failing the test. You know, it's like, you know, we can't even get that together.
The test, remember, let me explain it. The cosmetic of the bride is the subtleties. And the subtleties are those that we normally wouldn't even see. It's the idea of, you know, we get so acclimated to whatever it is. Like if a home didn't have running water, by definition, they would be in poverty. Or if they didn't have an indoor toilet, or if they didn't have electricity. In fact, those are some ways that people prove poverty. Well, that's just goofy. Since when did all those become entitlements? And so, to be thankful for even the very smallest of things is, and not some new age, you know, conning yourself into it mantra, but to really from the heart understand it and be thankful for the smallest, for the next breath, for the no matter the crudest kind of food or clothing or that's what we are. I promise you, idolatry can't exist in that environment. Anyhow, that's all I have to say about that.
If we did that, we'd be doing that all day long.
That's right.
That's all we'd be doing.
We'd be singing.
We'd rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing. The Lord is at hand.
Surely goodness and mercy pursues me.
John, any response?
No. I guess our prayer should be that this message becomes a sustained part of our consciousness.
But see, this is why we need to exhort one another daily, while it is still called today. If you see someone that is not in thankful, a position of being thankful, and they've gone petty on us instead of postal. Then that pettiness needs to be addressed. Otherwise, you're not doing the watchman's duty. You are just letting someone die in front of you without any care. And you don't do it in self-righteousness, you do it as a reminder. The way you know whether or not you're doing it in self-righteousness is if they accuse you of it, and then you justify yourself.
Answer the question.
So, you are they that justify yourselves among men. Remember that. That's sort of the...
Or another way is if they don't respond to your suggestions, then you get pissed off.
All right.
Yeah.
You had some other agenda than... love.
Or you come to one of the elders and say, I've been trying to deal with this for 3 weeks, but they just won't listen to me. Here, what does Harry look like that? Again, take it, big guy. I tried to call you yesterday, but you were gone. Pete's in Austin. May not be back tomorrow. We may not be back tomorrow.